We are professional podcasters. Please begin the program.
All right. Okay, here. This is wonderful. This is my favorite. All right, here we go. Shop Talk Show, go. Okay, well, hey, welcome to the 8th episode of the Shop Talk Show podcast, a podcast where we sit around and talk about web design, development, all the stuff that you're probably doing during your day job right now. I'm Dave Rupert, and with me is Chris Coyer, as usual.
Hey, guys. Yeah,
and
excited to
today,
hear another.
Oh, what's that? Go ahead.
I was just telling you how excited I was. That's all.
I'm really excited. I get excited every Thursday, but today is super exciting because we have another crossover episode with the guys from the Non-Breaking Space podcast.
Woo! Yes. Woo!
They are here. They include, we'll go through them one by one, just so sure. you know what's going on. We actually have it's a triple Chris episode, which is, it's a little weird, but well, you know, we're going to get through it. First, Christopher, who is not a Chris, he's a Christopher, Christopher Schmidt, who does lots of stuff. In addition to being a front-end developer, has like a slew of conferences. I just got back from one in Orlando, In Control, that was super fun, but Christopher also does Anything Summit. So if you've heard like the CSS Summit or the jQuery Summit or the education one or the accessibility one, those are all Christopher and his clan, Environments for Humans. So welcome to the show, Christopher.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, right on. And then we have another Chris Enns, right? And I don't think I've ever met Chris, but he's got a little podcast empire of himself. So if anybody knows how a podcasting is done, and it's Chris Enns. What's up, dude?
Hey, Chris. Nice to be here.
Yeah,
from Canada.
Yes, first kind of international episode.
You'll recognize him by his accent.
And very deep.
If you need to distinguish.
Yeah, ask him what it's all about.
Sounds like the deepest voice is definitely Chris N. So that's how you'll know him. And then we have, who is also at In Control with me and Christopher, Dave McFarland, who's out in Portland, Oregon, right, Dave?
That's right.
And awesome. Dave has written about, I mean, Christopher's written a bunch of books. Dave's written even more books, I think. Dave has like 100 books, I think.
I have 152 books.
I only have 150, so it's kind of weird.
And they're all for sale for 99 cents in the Kindle bookstore.
Nice.
Are you serious? You have 150 books? Like, are you just copying Wikipedia articles or what?
Old Shakespeare plays, I put those out. You know, anything that's in the public domain, I just slap my name on it.
Kind of add some colors.
No, actually, I have written 3 books, Dreamweaver, The Missing Manual, JavaScript and jQuery, The Missing Manual, and CSS, The Missing Manual.
Really?
Ah.
More than that, but that's still 3 books is no small task.
Yeah, but three books, but he also updates them too.
And 8 editions of the Dreamweaver book. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, so Dave is a developer and he teaches college and stuff. Anyway, when I've seen him talk, he talks about jQuery a lot. Has a lot to say about that. Very good teacher. So cool. Well, hopefully there's some jQuery questions buried in here. I hope. Anyway, those are the guests this week. Can't be. It's gonna be pretty sweet. I think Dave usually has a good like first question kind of thing to.
This is. It's a question, but it's also sort of just a story, you know. You guys all work in code. You know what divs and spans are. So the first one is a div walks into a bar. The bartender says, "You can't come in here. You've got no class." Nice. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite ones.
That's good.
Really clean, just a simple.
Just a clean one. That was given to me, I must say, by Devin Price. Devin says on Twitter, who runs a WordPress-centric blog, wptheming.com. So check that out for tips and tricks. And thanks, Devin, for the jokes. I need jokes,
for having
obviously.
No class.
Yeah.
Most emails into this Shop Talk Show, our joke criticizing, let's say.
Oh. So if your teeth are grinding right now, that was for you. A little bit of follow up. I want to get into the Q&A because that is the meat, of course, of Shop Talk Show. But next week, most of us, are going to South by Southwest. So I don't know what to tell you about that other than it's going to be fun and maybe. We'll be hanging out and we'll be like, we should have a Shop Talk Show thing. So maybe follow us on Twitter and maybe we'll have a Shop Talk meetup. I don't know for sure that's going to happen, but it might.
No.
That's all I have to say about that.
It'll most likely be in the form of we are in the same place and we're inviting you. So nothing pre-prescribed or anything. Nothing you need to RSVP to.
Yeah. So I have a follow-up on the print. Well, it might have been 2 weeks ago now because we did the rapid fire thing. But we talked about tracking printing, which is kind of cool. Like how many people print out my website? It's just kind of interesting. Right. And this guy, Nathaniel, we were talking about like maybe you could track key presses on Command P or Control P or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Possible,
right.
But you know, you could go, but does that won't capture it if you go up to the file menu and stuff like that. Anyway, this Nathaniel, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes, had this idea that you have a print style sheet, right?
Right.
And then you make like the background of the body, a URL that points to an image, but the image is just a PHP file, right? That will return as like print.php, and it just like increments something, or even better, possibly would communicate with Google Analytics that would just tick something up, so you don't have to write your own database or whatever. I thought it was pretty clever, so I'll put a link to that.
So it's like a hit counter for print style sheets.
Yeah, just to get because who knows how many people print your website? I bet nobody knows. It's so such a hard thing to. It's not part of most analytics packages. So most of you know I work for WooFoo and SurveyMonkey. There was a question that came in that WooFoo turned out to be a really good answer for, so I thought I would cover it. It was by Rodrigo Brights, who says, I would like to send some invitations, a link to a form, and when somebody submits it, its attendance would instantly show up on an attendance list, maybe on another page, in order by the time they submitted it. So like you want to RSVP to a party, you type in your name and email address, and as soon as you do that, you see a list of other people that are coming to that party. And I was like, well, dude, I'm not going to explain how you do that with PHP or, some crazy way. I'm like, just use WooFoo, build a report based on the data, and set the redirect URL of your form to that report, and you're good to go. So I don't want to go in super in-depth with it. It just turned out that WooFoo would be a really good solution to his little problem. So I was like, I'll put that in as a half advertisement, half question answering thing at the top of the show. Okay, thanks, guys. That's enough. That's enough. Let's get into the question and answer portion of the show. Dave, you want to kick us? Do you have
I got it here. First question is from Diego Ruiz, and he's asking, what's your most preferred text editor that is free? Not free, OS specific, I need to read this with inflection. What's your most preferred text editor that is free? Not free? Uh-huh. OS specific? What are the benefits of using them and do they have an impact on productivity? So he's kind of asking, what's your preferred text editor? And then free versus not free? And then is there an OS specific one you really enjoy?
We've talked about this before, but I feel like it was a good one for having a five-person show because there'll be lots of different opinions and stuff.
Right.
Why don't you take it, Christopher, and give us your thing?
I still use TextMate. I'm still on TextMate 1. I haven't had time to actually use TextMate 2 or Sublime yet. So, but I just still like TextMate. I use a theme that someone made. I forget what it is, but it's a nice little like theme, easy on the eyes. Probably one of the reasons why I still use TextMate,
Solarize?
I think it's Solarize, yeah. I think that's the one. Yeah. But yeah, it's like a really kind of, so I use that. What do you use?
Well, in terms of free stuff, on Windows, Notepad++ is good. I know a lot of people use that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Mac, TextStrangler is free. That's BB Edit's little cousin or whatever, and that's been around forever. Now, in terms of paid stuff, I use Dreamweaver because I wrote a book on it. And, you know, it has some good text editing features. It's a little, you know, getting a little creaky now. They need to update them, especially with, you know, the competition from like Sublime or TextMate, which have just awesome features for text editing. So I've been trying out Sublime, and it's sweet. It's a nice editor.
So what about Sublime do you like over like TextMate? Or whatnot. Like what about Sublime is awesome?
Makes it well, sweet. Well, one thing, I mean, over TextMate, which is what I used to use as well, you know, it's just, it's being updated. You know, TextMate is as far as I've been following, is not really moving anywhere. Maybe you guys know better than me because I've kind of abandoned it, but, you know, that's a nice thing about Sublime. It's got a, I mean, it's just a one guy, right, who's working on it, but he's constantly updating that. Mm.
That's a true fact. What about you, Chris Enns?
I'm rocking the TextMate as well. I use the Hunch Dark Dimmed theme for those who are interested.
Hunch Dark?
Yeah.
Twilight kind of guy. But,
yeah, I don't know where I found this one, but that's what I'm using. But Sublime is definitely on the radar because it's just quicker. It loads quicker.
Everything's quicker. That's what I'm using. I would like to say this. So the question from Diego here was that, you know, what about Windows? What about not free ones? And I'd kind of like to say, I hate to say this, but all the paid ones are better than all the free ones. You should use a paid text editor. They're not that much money. If you do one freelance job, please take the money from the freelance job and get yourself a decent text editor. I hate to say that, but maybe if you're like a student who just has no money, you could use one for a little while, but invest in yourself, people. Do not just stick around on a free text editor forever. You will be more productive.
Yeah, well, I will say, like, when I was on a Windows machine, like, I was stuck with a job and like 5 years ago or whatever, I had to use a Windows machine. I use a TextPad for the Windows, and they have a free version, but you have to, you know, upgrade or whatever. It's like shareware or something like that. So, but I like TextPad for the Windows.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad we got to talk with some Windows stuff. We get criticized for that a lot. So thanks for doing that, guys. And yeah, benefits, impacts, all that stuff. We'll probably come back to this topic around because it's a very popular thing to talk about, text editors, whatever. Let's move on, though. We got an audio one from Kirk Grover. Let's have it, Dave.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, guys. My name is Kirk Grover. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I am thoroughly enjoying your show. I hope you can keep doing these for a long time. I've learned a lot. My question for you, and I've run into this a few times, but I'm trying to get information from an XML or RSS feed that is hosted on a completely different website, completely different server, and I'm trying to get that information onto my site and format it up in my HTML and CSS and use whatever elements I want from those feeds. Is that something I can do on the client side with JavaScript, or do I need to resort to some sort of server-side trickery in order to make that happen? Thank you.
Awesome.
I bet Dave knows about this. It's kind of like, can you get information from an RSS feed only with JavaScript?
No.
that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, essentially, it comes down to cross-domain stuff in browsers, and you can't just request and get information from a domain that's not yours. I mean, maybe if it's your own, if the RSS feed is on your own site, maybe. But that's probably not what you're doing. That's not the point of RSS. So, you know, there's, I don't know, take it, Dave. You had some thoughts, right? Or was no your answer?
That's it. That's all. I'm sure. No, I mean, what you would do for, you know, ingesting, you know, an XML feed from another site is you got to do something on your own server. So you'd have PHP, for example, and PHP has, you know, built-in support for XML. So basically you would ingest it, parse it, and then you could spit it back out to your own site. And you could do that still with JavaScript. So basically your JavaScript communicates via AJAX from your site to your server, which then pulls the feed from the foreign server, and then it, you know, sends it back as like a JSON to your JavaScript. So, you know, there's a lot of steps in that, but that's how you would pretty much achieve that.
Yeah, but can you, like someone mentioned in the chat room, to use Yahoo Pipes, so, and And could you still like slurp up the RSS feed through Yahoo pipes and then insert it into your own your website, the output from that? So
yeah, that's a great idea. I haven't looked at that. So I mean, it is possible to, you know, send things across domain using JSONP, mm-hmm. which is, you know, kind of an extension on JSON. Mm-hmm. You know, the hosting site, the site that you're, you know, getting this XML feed from, it's got to be it has to have JSONP, you know, built into it. It's got to be able to respond using JSONP, which if you're looking at Yahoo or Google, you know,
that's
their APIs usually
doing, right?
What's that?
Doug Niner's in the chat room telling us about this, and Niner, I'm sorry, and that's probably what Google Pipes and Yahoo are doing, right? They're digesting that feed on their end, and then they're wrapping it, or they're doing the thing which is JSONP, which is wrapping the JSON yep. in a function call, right, so that you can use it without writing your own server side stuff.
Yeah.
I would say the whole point of RSS is that you're allowing other people to use the content that you create, right? Wouldn't you say that's the point of RSS? Maybe RSS needs to update itself, and you know what I mean? Like maybe there should be a JSONP version of the RSS spec that allows us to digest RSS better
awesome.
Through only JavaScript that way.
Yeah, well, I do want to give a shout out again to like Yahoo Pipes because you do a whole lot more with Yahoo Pipes than just like, you know, scripting the RSS feeds, but if no one's actually looked into it, I would highly recommend people looking into it. And I
use it.
Yeah, it's freaking. Well, how do you use it?
I used to make custom feeds on CSS Tricks. So there was some weird things that I was having trouble with creating custom feeds for on CSS Tricks. And I was like, I can create custom feeds for a really specific thing, like one, I don't know. And I ended up with like 9 little feeds that kind of got what I want, but I wanted to offer a concatenated version of that feed.
Right.
So I just throw it through Google Pipes and then feed burner that so that I can get some stats on it and then offer that feed up. So Yahoo cool. Pipes, it's pretty easy and cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, from the chat room, Doug Niner, he's got the Google Feed API, which basically that's it. It solved it. So you can use the Google Feed API to ingest JSONP into your own site using JavaScript.
Cool.
So that's at developers.google.com/feed.
Awesome. Chat room invaluable. Okay. We have a sponsor.
These guys should be on the show. We should just
totally
read the chat room.
God, if we only had Doug lined up to be on a show already, God, that would be weird. hashtag Doug.
Spoiler alert.
Sponsor time. We have a new sponsor this week that has never been on the show before, Hover.com. Have you heard of them? They do domain name purchases, so they are in that game. You can go to hover.com/shoptalk. Which please do. Anything you buy from them is 10% off if you go to Shop Talk, and you'll know because there's a cool little bar thing that shows up when you go to that URL. It kind of redirects to the homepage, but puts this thing on like, you came from Shop Talk, and that's awesome. Please do that if you want. So if you want to buy a domain name, go there. So there's 4 main points, and they're a sponsor for 4 episodes. So for each week, I'm going to do one like core principle of Hover, and one of them is the kind of the most important first one is that they have it's just a good UI. It's really simple. It's really smart. Everything is easy from registering a new domain name to stuff like changing your password, renewing a domain name, changing the DNS. All that stuff is just a simple, clean interface instead of a cluttered one like you might be used to. The one cool thing they have is like FedEx-like domain tracking. So if you're transferring a domain to them or away from them, it has like this, like, you know, when your package is in transit in FedEx, it's like, it's in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or whatever, and so you can see. But this is like where your domain is, and the multiple steps it takes to transfer domains around. So that's what I got for Hover this week. If you want to buy a new domain name, definitely check it out through them. They come highly regarded. Okay,
and we have some giveaways to catch up on. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, we do. So do you remember us talking about the HTML and CSS book by that John? Duckett. Dang it, I forgot. Anyway, I got this thing in the mail. Did you get one too? Has anybody else seen this book, the HTML and CSS book?
Which one?
Just go to htmlandcssbook.com. It's by Wiley, but it doesn't look like a Wiley book. Not that Wiley books are awful, but this one is like completely 100% custom designed. And it's I finally got it in the mail, and it's even awesomer than I thought it was going to be. Every page is a masterpiece.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really
not,
well. Yeah,
that does not look like a normal Wiley book either. So.
No, it does not. Indeed. Awesome. And so we were giving them away. We gave away one, and we have a winner this week. To win, you just give us an audio question, because we love your audio questions. So a random audio question giver. This week is Tim Mays. Tim Mays, if you're listening.
Woo!
Oh, that was the best. I love it when you're ready.
I was on it this week.
Tim Mays, congratulations. We're going to send you an HTML and CSS book, or more accurately, I'm going to tell them that you won and they're going to send it to you. Yeah. And that's awesome. And we have one more winner. So next week, send in an audio question. We'll choose a random winner and you can win the HTML CSS book. Even if you don't win, though, check out the book. It is unbelievable. It's totally going to be my go-to. I want to learn HTML and CSS. Chris, what do I buy? I'm like, you should buy this book because it's awesome. Oh, Dave, what do we got? Got a cue for us? A cue for some A?
I got a cue to be A'd. That's awful. I think I just aimed an explicit rating. Okay, this one is from Ronald Rowe. I racked my brain trying to think of a way to create a layout with a fixed width sidebar where the content area used fluid width and took up the remainder of the space. In the end, I had to shift to a wrapper div on the right and use a negative margin and move the sidebar into place. Surely there must be a better, more semantic way of doing this. I think this is, and this is from Ronald Rowe, if I didn't say that before, I think this is the age-old golden layout question. Just how do you...
Sidebar on the left and another div on the right that is fluid width. So yeah. There's lots of different ways to do this. I don't know if anything pops to mind for you guys. But the way he said that he was talking about it was just that he, I don't know, what did he say? He made a fixed width div and then like negative margined it to the left or something.
Yeah,
I mean, so if it works, it works. I would not sweat. If you came up with a solution and it absolutely works for you and it works in all browsers, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why that's not semantic, you know, assuming it's like an aside and a div. I mean, it's cool with me. Do you guys have any thoughts?
Why don't you just, you're talking about a two-column design, basically.
Right.
One's fixed, one's fluid.
Right.
So I would just, set the left one to fixed, mm-hmm. and then the right one, I don't even float it. I'll just, set the left margin to take up that space, right? Yeah. And then its width is just auto, so it'll just grow and shrink.
Right.
Is that
right.
Not right?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Because the first one is floated. The left one has a fixed width and is floated. And the other one, not even being floated, will move up next to it. Right? Or will it not? Because it's 100% wide, so it might push down. I don't know. We could throw together a JS fiddle in 2 seconds. There's a lot of number of ways to do this. I think Flexbox is a way that's like...
Yeah.
It's like the new hot way to do this, but I haven't played with it that much. Honestly, sorry, guys.
Flexbox will be the way you'll want to do it, but if you go to, what is it, html5please.me or whatever it is, that they don't recommend using Flexbox because the spec is still changing, but that's how you'll want to do it in the future, is Flexbox.
Yeah. Well, who supports that now?
God, I want to say it worked on Chrome at one point, but...
Well, I'm sure it does. Actually, it works really far back, but in a lot of browsers. But the spec has changed, so now they're in this position where there's two different types of ways that you can declare Flexbox, and the new one is less supported. But that's going to be the way going forward. So now you can, but it still retro works with the old way. It's kind of a it may be the death knell for Flexbox. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But that's kind of dangerous territory.
Whoa, hot drama.
Flexbox is dead, says Chris Poirier.
OH.
Anyway, yeah, there's a number. You know, and the only kind of time it really matters is if your left sidebar has like a different background or a different style than your main content. If it's just white on white, you could also just make padding left on the main content area and absolutely position left sidebar, because then it doesn't matter if they're not the same height or whatever.
Yeah, and just use the fall column, the fake column trick from.
Yeah, right.
Where from like 1990s, I don't know where. So,
yeah, okay. Which now you can do with gradients. You know, you can.
Yeah.
Say, yeah. Okay. Oh, is that getting weird for radio? I'm not sure if anybody's even following us anymore on this question.
Move on.
All right. Hit us.
Okay, I got another audio question from Keith Weiland. Here we go.
Hey, Shop Talk. My name is Keith. You guys have inspired me to look into things like bookmarklets and GitHub for the first time in my web working experience. And I've just recently created my first bookmarklet based on a code snippet from CSS Tricks. Basically, what it does is remove any attributes in the HTML that are obsolete in HTML5. This project came along because I wanted a project to just put out on GitHub, like a real little project, so that I could understand how to use GitHub and the usefulness of it and everything like that. And also, where I work, we're looking to convert a bunch of legacy HTML over to HTML5 standards. And so I guess my questions are, do any of you see this as something that could be useful for the web as a whole? And if so, how would I go about spreading the word without being like super annoying on a bunch of forums and blogs saying, you know, go check out my new thing. Here's a link. So I guess that's it. So thanks for the show, guys.
Well, I think
maybe posting an audio question on a popular podcast is a good way to spread
good
the word.
Good start.
Yeah, of course, he didn't give us the URL.
I know. It's like, well, you're almost there, and then you're not there.
So. I will dig that up somehow. Okay. And what's the bookmarklet do? It removes deprecated attributes.
For HTML5 and like HTML and CSS.
Cool. But, so if I thought you did something like V-align top or something, that won't work anymore, so it removes it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so I thought it was pretty cool when he was talking about it, and then I was like, man, I hope he gives me the URL. So I was like, oh.
That's okay, Keith. Don't sweat it. I'll find it on GitHub, or I'll email you back or something and get it. But that's interesting. And his secondary question was, okay, I built this cool thing. Right. Now, how does anybody get to see it? I guess that's a classic question, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, to be perfectly honest, I have an advantage in that way because I can just blog about it and enough people will see it that will be satisfying for me because I've blogged for like 5 years on stuff and kind of earned that privilege, I guess. But for you, I would say you just keep on keeping on, man. You put it on GitHub, so that was a good start.
Right.
You emailed into a talk show, that was a good start. You should Twitter it, that's a good start. You should find relevant threads on Stack Overflow and stuff that are like, what about deprecated attributes? Be like, oh, I made a thing about deprecated attributes. It's a little self-promotional, but still, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're solving if it's relevant and you're solving people's problems,
and you're giving it away for free.
Right, exactly. Right. And then I think I was listening to his spiel about it, and I thought, like, you know, Dave and I both teach, and I thought it'd be just a great learning tool to help students code for the new specs. And so I thought, like, that'd be something cool for my students to know.
Yeah, hit the button and see if you screwed up.
Yeah, pretty much. But definitely putting it on GitHub is great, is awesome, and then make a little website or mini web page that you can use to just get your SEO, like make sensible headings and sensible paragraphs and stuff like that, and putting on there is a way to go. And one of the cool things I love about GitHub is, one, of course, is the whole like sharing things, you know, sharing code and all that. But also you can actually do what's called GitHub pages. And so you actually create your own mini web page or website for your project and have it hosted on GitHub and give you, you know, by domain name and have it redirected. And so GitHub just does all the work for you. You just update the code and upload your pages and stuff like that. So it's just a very easy way to spread your code out. So
some of the most popular projects in GitHub, I would definitely say use that technique where it's hosted right on GitHub. So the deal with that is you make a branch in your GitHub project and call it gh-pages, and then put some stuff in that, like an index.html file, not your actual project, but just an index.html file and a CSS file, whatever, that is like your sales page, your splash page for your cool project. Mm-hmm. And then automatically it'll be like yourname.github.com/ the name of your repo, and it will serve up that index.html file. Mm. Right. So that's kind of how it works. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and just put it out there and let Google happen. Cause I don't know. One of the more funnier, it's not funny, but like also true things that Chris Coyer, like you said during an InControl conference, was like, how we do our web stuff? Well, this is what we do. We Google, and then we find it, and then we find the answer we're looking for. And just by putting it out there and letting people let Google index it, I mean, it's just a great way for people to find it. So, and they'll find it when they need it. So, which is, and they find it when they need it, and it's the just in time type of solution. I think you'll win many converts to it.
Well, there's no such thing as making something that's amazing and that's super awesome and relevant and useful to people and having it just gather cobwebs. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, that never happens. You know, like if you really hit the nail on the head, people will find it and use it and share it.
Right. Yeah, they'll tweet about it and then it spreads.
Yeah. Next.
Okay, here we go. So next, I'm on it. I the other weekend I met a dude who talks like this for real. His name's Doyle. Anyway, I'll spare you the Doyle impersonation for later. But this one's from Kartik Vadlapatla. Okay, I think I got it. What is the most semantic way to write HTML for a poem?
Ooh, nice.
Your answer in a haiku, please.
Oh. I'm going to totally figure this one out.
I would say that poem is hard, you know, like it's like what's the best way to code a website for a car wash or something? It's like there's lots of, I don't know, it depends on the car wash. It depends on the poem here. If it's like a Roald Dahl thing or something where it's just like line, space, line, you know, that's one thing. But poems can be crazy, you know, they can have weird indentation, and certainly they can be read weirdly by people with funny hats. I'd say it really depends on the poem, but I would say poems generally have a paragraph structure. So, you know, use paragraphs where there's a line break. And then, like I said, line break. I mean, that's what the BR tag is. So when a line is over, literally break it there with a break tag, because I would say that's semantic.
That was the worst haiku ever, Chris.
Yeah, you're a little over on your last couplet. Yeah.
All right. How about the judicious use of many P and BR, BR, like BR is a word, right? One thing, BR tags in your web pages. I think BR is two syllables. Damn it. Yeah, but
you're close. Yeah.
They are close. So
that's good. I've seen it used in a figure tag recently, and then caption was any kind of attribution you needed to do. A block quote in site might make sense too, but it depends, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't use figure because figure is supposed to be supporting the main content. So unless it was like a supporting haiku.
Yeah, I mean, if you're quoting somebody else's poem, maybe block quote, but it's different, I guess, if it's your own poem. Yeah, and definitely the indents, definitely using text indent is relevant for that, because a lot of times that's visual, not a part of the poem. Mm-hmm. Also, check out the CSS oral rules or whatever that is. I mean, if you're into that, I don't know. I would get a kick out of this. There's so many like rules that you can apply through CSS to dictate how something is read out loud in a screen reader voiceover or whatever. So you could be like, use this voice and use this type of emphasis and, you know, slow or fast or high pitched or low pitched and stuff. That would be the fun part of marking up a poem, I would think, is doing with that. So it'd be like, use break tags. And lots of other elements. You know, like you can control that type of speed and stuff. That'd be fun.
I'd say just all H1 tags. the breach line. That really gets back the point across.
Back in the day, I used to use teletype, the TT tag, but I'm not sure that's a thing anymore.
I used to use TT forever. Sometimes I go back and look at old blog posts. And for whatever reason, I decided codes should be display block for like 2 years on CSS Tricks. And I was like, oh, but sometimes I want to put code in the middle of a line. So I just use TT instead. And I'm still cleaning up that mess. anyway, so Karthik, if you mark up a poem in a cool way based on our silly recommendations, I'll link it up in the show notes this week. I'm interested in this HTML for a poem idea. Good question.
Yeah. Well, I think the BR tag is actually, when I research, you know, writing books or whatever, it's just poems is actually a good example for using the BR tag because you need to force that line break. So that's always comes up.
Yeah. Even if the text wraps, it's still important. Break the line here. That's part of, that's part of a poem.
Yep.
Okay. So we remember we used to have a sponsor, the Less Accounting Guys. I was right after I was at Christopher's conference in Control. I flew up to Atlanta and I attended Less Conf, which was really fun, and it's now over. And so, sorry about that. We come next year. It's pretty wild. I watched a guy get his eyebrows shaved on stage for an iPad, which was pretty cool.
But the thing was, it was for iPad 1. It was really weird. I don't know.
Oh, was it? No, and then shaving parts of his head, and then Alan threw the clippers on the ground and broke the clippers, so the guy couldn't even like continue cleaning up his own half shape. I watched some people hug on stage for 8 hours on their iPad. Anyway, wow. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. I preferred In Control.
We don't shave anyone. So. That's your tagline. We don't shave anything.
Where I was going with that is that these are the same guys that do Less Comp, do Less Accounting, which they were sponsored before. But now they're back, and they're sponsoring a new conference that they're doing called Less Money. So go to lessmoney.lesseverything.com, and it is a one-day conference in Tampa, Florida this summer, and it's about how to make more money as a small business. So these guys have made a bunch of web apps. They make money doing that. They make money doing web consulting work. They make money a whole bunch of different ways, and they're doing pretty well. And this conference is going to be sharing their journey and having a bunch of speakers. And the whole point of the conference is money, 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 how to make more money as a small business. Cool. So Tampa, Florida, it's a nice place. I used to live there. I would go to it. Maybe I will go to it. I don't know. But anyway, they're sponsoring this thing. So we're trying to get you to go to it.
Cool. It's June 7th.
June 7th, Tampa, Florida, lessmoney.lesseverything.com. Okay. We have another giveaway. It's a Mac app called Processor, P-R-O-C-S-S-O-R, processorapp.com. It's one of those things where I was talking to, I was like, I think it's pretty cool to use preprocessors, and they compress all my code. But if you're not on the preprocessor bandwagon yet, you still have no excuse not to, deploy compressed CSS, I think. You know, like, you're stupid not to, if you ask me. So this is an app that does that amongst other kind of CSS processing things. This is a pretty looking little Mac app. So anyway, they're not a sponsor per se, but they gave us some codes to give away. So back when we were light on sponsors, I was like, heck yeah, we'll give it away. Anyway, it's cool anyway. So I'm going to give away three of them this week, and then I'm going to give away two of them next week, and we'll call it. And the way to win this one is like a tell your friends contest, like just tweet any tweet that happens to include @ShopTalkShow in it and #processor is eligible to win. I'm going to pick three guys. Are you ready? Jeremy Warboys, you win processor app. And I'll be in touch with you, so don't worry about that. Jeremy Blanchard and Parker Bennett, congratulations. You're all going to win. Can you do the thing, Dave?
I'm on it.
That was nailed it. Those three guys are going to tell your friends this week, and we'll give it to you. And that's it for that. Let's do more Q&A. That's the good stuff.
That's the meat and potatoes. All right. This one is I love this. Okay. This is from Paul DeWouters, and he's asking, do you think there'll be another .com bubble? See Pinterest valued at $200 million in the Facebook IPO. Ooh, hold on. I think it's drama. This is a good question. Do you guys think we're in a dot-com bubble and we're it's just going to explode miserably like it did in 2001 all over yes. again? Or
yeah, we're in an HTML5 bubble. I don't know. That's but I don't know.
So. Yeah, I just thought, you know, I was like, you know what, maybe other people have opinions about this, but I'm the kind of guy who's like, I don't know, just leave me alone and turn the lights off, you know, like, I don't.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't read TechCrunch, I don't. Oh.
There's another show all together. Sorry. but yeah, so, yeah, I don't know, I don't know, the dot-com thing, I don't know, I think the dot-com thing got kind of crazy. I actually, like, I was one of the people who got, like, laid off and during the dot-com bust, so I was just...
it really literally affected you.
Yeah, it literally affected me, and it was kind of a funny story. It's like, I got laid off, and then I got my first book deal, like, that weekend. So I was just like, oh, okay, I'll be writing books now. So I would say, like, the dot-com...
Got economy. Lots of book deals.
Yeah, like, I think, people just got really... People who didn't know computers or whatever got really carried away with the hype and buzz of it, like, you know, and just... It far exceeded the foundation of what the web was at that time, and so it had to come crashing down to reevaluate the market, if you will. But we probably will never ever see that again. And if you think about in terms of like his example of Facebook, Facebook, you know, took a long time to get to where it is right now, and they just continually reiterate who they are and what they do. Sometimes they kind of like borrow, steal stuff from, you know, competitors or whatever. But, you know, they actually have, you know, your friends and family on Facebook for multiple minutes to hours at a time. So it's right. It's kind of crazy.
It's a real thing. Yeah, it's not Facebook for dogs, for dogs, friend dogs that gets 200 million just because VCs are looking to give people money and they don't care what it is kind of thing. Right.
I think we're at this growth right now where we have APIs, we have apps, we have this mobile thing that's happening, and it's very real. I mean, like, I think the stat was, like, we've actually have more, I forgot what the stat was, like, it just rolled across my research, was like, we have more mobile phones than TVs, maybe, I think, I don't know, something like that, so, or more mobile phones than we have people on the planet, or something like that, so it's a very real thing, this, the whole mobile thing that we're doing, this. So it's sort of like, I would say the real boom right now is just maybe going from desktop to mobile is the big thing. So
yeah, I think one of the things with the original bubble is that we didn't have a very diverse ecology. Like, there was just a ton of e-commerce things popping up. So dog food and selling this and selling that and selling this. And there's no way that was going to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got... You know, Amazon, who's pretty much conquered e-commerce in many ways. So, you know, but now we have all these things, Facebook, we've got services like, you know, Beanstalk and all of these just totally different and diverse web apps that solve different problems. So I don't see it crumbling in the same way that it could, because we just have a lot of different types of web apps out there.
That's a good point. There's, you know, there's still the make money through advertising thing. There's the just charge your customers directly thing. There's e-commerce. There's apps, you know, making money from other apps. And, you know,
mm-hmm. Like I would not recommend anyone doing a fart app because I think that's been played out. So,
dude, I just filed for an IPO on my fart app.
That's right. Wait till you hear mine. It's a good app.
An Super IP fart phone. HD. Yeah. Oh, hold on. That deserves a rim shot there. That was, yeah.
Oh, come on. Don't you have a fart sound in there?
No, that's on a different soundboard.
They have everything else but that. So they run a classy show here, man.
Oh, sorry. They want to keep their rating on iTunes.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay, so this may be our last one here, but this one just came in hot off the press, and it's directed to Non-Breaking Space, so here it is. It says, if you, I guess Shop Talk, and the Non-Breaking Space guys were television shows, what two television shows would you be, and what kind of crossover event would you make? And this is from Barney Rubble, which sounds like a real name.
I don't think so. Maybe
so if though. We were,
I think we're Judge Judy, right?
Oh yeah, for sure we're Judge Judy.
Yeah, I'm thinking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh. I'm not sure which of us is that, but
And then the crossover event, I guess it would be like, I don't know, maybe Judge Judy like comes to visit the Housewives and is like, you need to shut up and behave in my living room.
You sound just like her too. It's amazing. Yeah.
Or how about Breaking Bad meets SpongeBob SquarePants?
Oh, that'd be crazy. Yeah.
You have to be SpongeBob, Dave.
SpongeBob actually is on drugs.
I'll be SpongeBob. I heard my pants are actually exactly like SpongeBob's right now.
I was talking to Danny Outlaw at LessConf, and he was like, you should come to DragonCon in Atlanta. It's super fun. And then he was talking about random things that happened there, and one of them was that the guy from SpongeBob like does a panel about voiceover stuff, and he was like, he taught the whole audience how to do the SpongeBob laugh, and there's like hundreds of people there, and there's like hundreds of people in this room all doing the SpongeBob laugh. Oh, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll be right there. That sounds great.
That either sounds awesome or like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it did sound awesome. But now that I'm picturing it, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Whoa. Was that good? I'm glad we covered the TV show thing.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think we solved it. And if you're writing a script, there's an idea for you. Should we hit one more question then? That didn't take so long.
Yeah, we got time.
All right, here we go. This one's from Gretchen Hines Ward, and she's asking, I'm getting back into web development after a few years out of the loop. My question is about content management systems. How do you decide which is the best CMS for a project? Do you tend to stick with the same one, or do you switch for different projects? Are the open source ones, Drupal, Joomla, WordPress, robust enough for almost any project, or do the big boys use something else? And lastly, what CMS would you start with if you could only learn one? This is actually WordPress. A really good question. Yeah. WordPress.
I'd recommend WordPress. I mean, I teach that at the university that I teach at, just because it's powerful, it's really easy to use, it's customizable, and it's free, and it's everywhere. So there's a lot of good material for learning WordPress, like Chris's book. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a great place to start. It's not going to solve every CMS problem, obviously, and depending on your site and your traffic, it may not be so great. But mm-hmm. I think it's like the best first step into CMSs.
Right. Yeah, I think I would go with WordPress if I had to choose one. But there's also people are talking about Perch in the chat room, and there's also Expression Engine, which is kind of different dynamics. But I mean, you saw it's like a you have to pay for it, whereas WordPress is kind of free in terms of the software being free up front. But yeah. But I would go with WordPress personally too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously I would. But it's just because I have lots of experience. I've used it for a lot of time, a lot of years, and I just get it done in WordPress. You know, I feel productive in WordPress, and it's never quite failed me. I've never been like, oh, I want to do this. Too bad. You can't do it. You know, it's like, that's fine. At the same time, if I meet somebody and they're like, I know Joomla. I'm really good at Joomla. I get it done in Joomla. I'd be like, cool.
Yeah, get done.
Please continue using Joomla then. I'm not going to try to convert you to WordPress because it may just be a big learning curve for nothing. Uh-huh. So I don't really care which one you use. Although when you're choosing for the first time, it is kind of important to think a little bit about how easy is it going to be to find resources around it? What if I have questions? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. That stuff is important. And you're definitely going to find more question and answer stuff around WordPress, just the way it is. You know, just like, why would you pick jQuery? Well, one of the reasons is the community is friggin' enormous, so you're mm-hmm. gonna find resources on it easier.
Well, I have a question about the WordPress thing. Since you guys are experts about it, so my big concern about WordPress is that if I want a really good plugin that solves XYZ problem, where would I go to find that information? Like besides Google, of course. But it seems like there's like if I do Google for a WordPress plugin, I'm going to get like so many unhelpful stuff. So, so how would you go about finding a really good plugin?
You know what there should be? You know how like HTML5please.com is like, these are the most recommended plugins for these polyfills or whatever? That would be cool. Somebody should build a WordPress site that is like, if I want a poll, I have lots of experience. Don't give me every poll plugin, because that's what you're going to find. You're going to find some stupid roundup post on a blog. Sorry, other blogs, but it's going to be useless because there's going to be like 30 of them in there. And you'll be like, oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Which one, please? Right. So it should be somebody that has a lot of experience, and they should be like, oh, here's a polls plugin, here's a SEO plugin, these are the recommended best ones. I mean, maybe that's hard and too much to ask, but yeah, that's a good question, Christopher. I don't know how you find that out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think basically you find people that you trust who are working in WordPress and see what they recommend. So like Chris, on your book, you've got a lot of recommendations for things, and there's probably other people in the WordPress community that you trust and follow, and you know, look to them for recommendations for plugins.
Right,
for sure. In the book, Digging into WordPress, literally, which is not free, so whatever. But we do have a whole chapter of the book that is like, these are the recommended plugins for that type of thing. I mean, that's the not free choice for getting recommendations that we do keep updated. So. Right. What else was I going to say about CMSs? I don't know. Whatever. Pick one and be good with it.
If Gretchen's coming at it from like the design angle, like I would go WordPress just because WordPress has a really pretty UI and it's very designer friendly. But if you're like coming at it like she's been doing like C++ for the last like 10 years or whatever, like maybe do Drupal because it's a little more, you know, neckbeard centric. Maybe I offended a bunch of people, but it's a little more, you know, hands on with the code is what I want to say. You know, it's pretty robust, do anything sort of deal. So whatever angle you're coming at, Gretchen.
Cool. I like it. Oh, yeah. PHP, as much as people like to bitch about it, it works. And you know what? You know it scales to, I don't know. I get all kinds of traffic on CSS Tricks, and it holds up just fine.
Yeah. There you go.
Sweet.
Okay. We have 4 minutes. I think we can rock this last one out because it's super. Yeah. It's just like a answer thing.
Okay. This one's from Andrew Dilger.
Hey, guys. I wanted to know what your homepage was on your browser. Do you link to Google or your company website or just some bookmarks file?
Oh, there you go. What's your what's
when
your,
you open a new browser window, what do you question. Get?
Blank.
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 Blank. I'm tired of the web telling me what to do, man. I have it blank. Whenever a new browser window will open, I just want a blank page.
Should we just go around the table, though, Christopher? Blank. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris Sens, what do you got?
I got blank.
Blank. Dave?
Blue.
McFarland?
Yeah, blue.
Blue, just blue.com. Blue. Have you ever gone to purple.com? I think you should
check. I just had like an HTML file with a blue background.
Oh, okay.
Are you being serious?
No.
Oh, okay.
But if you put
blank.
Purple.
Blank.
I would definitely.
Purple. Oh,
okay.
Dude.
Got awesome. It. I'm blank too. What do you got, Dave?
I'm blank. Maybe a better.
All blank. 100% blank. Okay, go ahead.
What's the first website you open? Because I like opened Basecamp, Dribbble, and I don't like Google Reader all at once. Like I open a new tab and then I click all of those, even if that's not what I'm trying to do. Do you guys have a first website you like instinctively click to?
Yeah, ICANN has cheeseburgers.
No, I don't have one I go to all the time. So
I launch an invoicing app, FreshBooks, that I use. It's typically where I start with, just to get my head into, if I'm doing businessy stuff anyway.
I think I do Basecamp is where I dive in now. So, which I have a love hate affair with Basecamp. So.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, I think that would be annoying every time you hit a new... Because we all use tabs, right? I mean, that's not... Okay. It's not like you open a new window every time. If every time you opened a new tab, it was some app, would be the worst. I mean, it's just not even a choice, I don't think.
Yeah, especially if you're on the road and you don't have Wi-Fi and then you're...
You're like, stop it!
Yeah, exactly. Damn it.
Awesome. Well, cool. Okay.
All right, we got to wrap it up here. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
We should have a cliffhanger for a crossover.
Right.
Yeah.
For those at home, we want a little behind the curtains look. We're going to stop this show and we're going to immediately record a non-breaking space podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which will be better because now we're all lubed up.
Speaking of, hey, how can people follow you guys, give you money? Let's go around the board. Chris Schmidt, we'll start with you.
You can follow me on the Twitters. My Twitter handle is T-E-L-E-J-E-C-T, Teleject. My blog, which I should update more often, is ChristopherSchmidt.com. And I also do the In Control Conference, which is incontrolconference.com. And our online summits are through environmentsforhumans.com or e4h.tv.
And I'm on Twitter. This is Dave at Dave McFarland, McFarland. My website is sawmac, sawmac.com. My PayPal account is Dave at sawmac.com. Free to fill that up.
Nice.
We are lubed up, man. Okay,
you know what I meant.
Here's my PayPal account.
And that's it.
Chris Enns.
And I'm iChris on Twitter, and chrisenns.com is my blog. SSKTN.com is my other little slightly less professional podcasting site. So.
And then how can people listen to Non-Breaking Space and catch up? You guys have a few episodes.
You can't, actually.
You can't. They've all been deleted.
It's private.
Yeah. Well, we're at the nonbreakingspace.tv. And we have we're brand spanking new, so we've have a Ethan Mark Hotz interview, and we also have a Paul Irish interview up, and we'll be having our next episode coming out tonight or tomorrow with Emily Lewis, and then next week we'll be releasing part two of our crossover mega special with you guys. So
awesome!
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Good, guys. Thanks for having us. We were still working on an outro. We don't really have one. So.
ShopTalkShow.com.